kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Well, I've got a title here for us to consider, and we're calling our teaching today, Jesus is the same today as yesterday. Jesus is the same today as yesterday. And I'm going to base this from a familiar chapter and verse in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, and we're looking at verse 8, which simply says this: Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But we need to remember verse 9, because this is important. It just doesn't stop there. It says, do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. So, not to be carried about with various strange doctrines. Doctrines, and my, do we not live in a time of strange and various doctrines? In fact, nothing surprises me anymore. I heard the latest one with all these strange ideas and remedies coming out. The latest one is now to, when you go to bed, you're to have a fresh cut lemon. And a fresh cut lemon is going to get rid of all the bugs. I suppose it's come out of the craze of COVID and whatever, but it's going to protect you, and it's going to be good for your immune system. You'll be able to breathe better. You'll be able to sleep better. You'll be better. So that's the craze now, to have a fresh lemon each night, cut it in half and have it by the side of your bed, you know. These are the sort of things he is referring to here. And we are bombarded with these remedies. This will reduce the stress in your life. Or if you take this, this will rejuvenate you and give you an extra 20 years. And so it goes on. And people are making big bucks out of it. And what are they tapping into? The fear and unbelief of man. Medical science is making vast amounts of money by working on fear. Insurances do exactly the same. It's best, but what if? The what if? And that is what we have to battle. That is where the enemy and the powers of darkness are so vocal, you see. And look what he says here. He says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same when he created the world. He is the same when he spoke to Adam and Eve. He is the same when he spoke to Abraham and said, I will bless your seed. Mm-hmm. He is the same through Jesus Christ who went to the cross. He is the same through the baptizing now of the Holy Spirit into our lives, baptizing us. And he is the same today, now in this place where two or three are gathered together. Mm-hmm. Why is it we don't believe this? Why is it we are still so affected by our circumstances, by what the news says, or what medical science is saying, and so on? And this is why we're being delivered. We're being set free. This is why our gathering together, getting under this anointing, this is where God sets the captives free. Because our minds are a battlefield. The enemy is out to try and win a victory in our minds. And this is why we put on the mind of Christ. It's the idea of like I put a coat on or I put a cloak on. I will to have the mind of Christ. Some of these things are just not going to happen that way. We know that Peter had to get out of the boat and walk on the water to prove that he could walk on the water. It's taking that one step. And there are certain things that the Holy Spirit is showing us that we have to meet God halfway. And you have to with the mind of Christ. You have to confess. You have to will. Sometimes you have to cast down those arguments. Why does it use the word argument? It's quite simple. We argue in our minds. Did you know that? We're sometimes arguing with demons that are talking, suggesting to our minds. For example, somebody has said something that's upset you. And so it's in your mind. It's working there. You know, well, how dare them say that to me? There was no truth in that. It was a lie and blah, blah, and everything. And you're battling, you're arguing. What are you arguing with now? What is working there? They are demons. You have gone into dialogue with demons, devils, that are because they have the access to the mind. I don't know why God, you know, when he saved us, you know, put a helmet on us and no more can touch us. God knows. You see, there's always a bigger picture with God. We're just so honed in that trial or what I'm going through or whatever it would be. But God sees so much bigger. And there's so much that he's doing. And so we know that these battles that can go on in the mind, there is something that God is getting to the root. And he will use the enemy. He will use those devils that try and suggest and speak to us. Because he's in complete control. And so you find sometimes you are getting into dialogue. I'm getting into conversation. And sometimes it gets a bit heated. What's going on in our minds gets a bit heated. It's like sometimes you can see steam coming out the ears or the top of the head. it literally can be like that. And there's an argument going on. There's a fight going on. And where is the fight? Right in the mind. And he says, cast that down. And he gives us the ability. And the moment we take that step and say, I resist that, I am not any longer getting into that argument, that debate, whatever, those lies that the enemy is suggesting, the power of God takes over. Then the peace comes. And so on. And then you see the bigger picture. You think, hang on, wasn't the devil having a go? Wasn't he lying at that point? You see? Because then you think, you see, you hear, you get clarity. God is on the scene. You see? Why am I saying that? Because Jesus is the same today, yesterday, always. He doesn't change. He's in my life. He's in your life, my life, 24/7. And he's the one who doesn't change, who doesn't backtrack on his promises or whatever, you see. And this is why the apostle gives this idea of the attack. And of course, we've mentioned it here. Do not be carried about with various strange doctrines. So, of course, he's going to refer to doctrines because he's talking to believers. And so we're now believers. He's going to try and start an attack with doctrine, the twisting of the word. And I mean, you know, you go online, sometimes you go on YouTube. I get quite often sometimes, not from the saints, but I have other contacts, I'm with other Christians, and they send me through, you know, oh, listen to this preaching and teaching and whatever it is. And I genuinely do. I want to listen with an open mind. I want to listen. I want to learn. I want to be admonished, rebuked if need be, and everything. I really do. And not every time, but most of the time, you know, you get these teachings, you think after 10 minutes, I can't listen to this any longer. This is poison. You know, this is what's going on, and you want to read the comments, and it's gone to thousands and everything, and they're doctrines of demons. It's a lot of it's of the world, it's of the flesh, glorifying medical science, try this pill, try this food, everything is all incorporated with it. And you can't embrace it. Why? Because it goes against Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I regard Jesus Christ as the one who's still with us today, healing us, delivering us, for the very purpose that we can trust him and walk by faith and not by sight. Now, you may say to me, well, you're naive, you're simple. Well, praise God, I don't know anything else. All I know is he said what he is, and I believe it, and I expect it. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same right there when he spoke the world into being, and he's there the same in the book of Revelation and the end chapter. He doesn't change. And the reason I'm stressing this is because we are living now in an age of where everything is changing rapidly. Now they're trying to bring the New World Order in, and everything has escalated, is moving at a rate. And people, you hear people say, I'm getting left behind, you know, I can't keep up with it all. The enemy knows what he's doing. And so we have to depend on God, that he helps us not to be drawn down by all of this. You know, it doesn't matter where you go. You know, you can go to a bank, you know. I had to go to a bank recently, and it wasn't something I generally do. But I went to the bank, and the whole system was different. You know, I'm always getting papers through that they're amending or changing your phone deals or your bank or your supply of gas or electricity or whatever. There's always something new or new data or altering or changing. And try and read this stuff. It's all very clever how it's all done. There's reams of it because they know most of us are not going to sit down for 6 hours and study every word. What do we sign up to? Well, this is where we have to trust the Lord in all these things. It's all deceit. It's lies. It's all working to control us, which, of course, is what the Antichrist is going to do, is he not? But let me tell you this. The early church knew the power in that name. You see, his name is the power of eternity. God has given us his name, and we can use that name. The same as somebody who has power of attorney over somebody's finances or will. That's why you take one out for that purpose. And so, likewise, we have authority in that name. I know that may sound very basic, but boy, we so lose sight of that, don't we, at times? Let me just remind you of the wonderful story we know in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3 and verse 16. We know this well. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And you know the story of all of that. They saw the lame man. And he said, I've nothing to give you, but what I have got to give you, I can't give you money, but what I can give you, silver and gold have I none, but what I have, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And he did. He knew the authority in that name. And of course, it got them in trouble, didn't it? It upset the religious people and so it goes on. And then in Acts 4 and verse 4, however, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. So the authority in the name of Jesus, who raised that lame man, did such an effect, it gave such glory to God, and that it affected these people, and there you find those people were converted as a result of that, about 5,000 people. Why? Because they knew the authority in the name of Jesus. That's why, you see. And God has promised to honour his name it's promised to the extent that it's as if Christ himself were there speaking the word of faith. That is what it means when we have the power of attorney in his name. It's as though he's there present speaking the word. That is what it means. And that is why he lives in us. He dwells in us. He's together where two or three are gathered together. And it's as though he's present, and he's given us authority and power in his name. Hallelujah. And that's why we speak the word of faith. You know this very well, but I'm trying to labour a point here in Mark 17, the Great Commission. Mark 17, verses 15 to 20. Mark 17, verses 15 to 20. And it says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not by any means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they might recover. What's the matter? You don't sound very happy about that. But that's what we do, you see. We're offended, aren't we, by what I've just said? And yet we do it. You will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. They will recover. Why? Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today and forever, and he changes not. That's why. I know we know these very well, and I make no apology for this, because faith comes by hearing and reading all of this. But John 14, verses 12 to 14. John chapter 14, verses 12 to 14, you know this. Most assuredly, I love that. Most assuredly. That, I mean, just those two words, we miss that out, don't we? He's labouring a point. He's saying, yes, you did hear right, by the way. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, The works that I do will he do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And that's why he says, most assuredly, you have heard right. Oh, did he really say that? Did he really mean that? Was I hearing things or whatever? Well, when God wants to make a point, he'll bring it up again. Turn with me to chapter 16 and let's look at verse 23-24. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Do you want some joy in your life? I do, because the news is awful. Everyone, I mean, is terrified. Fearful, faces as long as a cricket bat and everything. I want the joy of the Lord. And that's how he says you get it as well. By believing. Twice he used this, that word assured, that yes, you did hear me right. When are we going to believe? That's the question. You see, the church has substituted the Holy Spirit for religion. They want to organize it all. They want to say, yes, medical science heals you. You're fine. Trust in medical science. God has given the ability and the skills. Trust in psychiatry. Trust in all authority instead of the authority in Jesus' name. And that's what the gospel is substituted for today. And that's what we are getting delivered from, you see. And they always want to bring up Dr. Luke somehow. Well, he was a physician of his time and everything, so he was. But when Jesus called them, my Bible says they forsook everything and followed him. They don't like that, you see. They like to think, well, he was continuing with the preaching of the gospel to also go and trust in the arm of the flesh. The Bible said, don't trust in the arm of the flesh. Now, you know where we stand here in this church. We are not telling any of you, you cannot go to a doctor. You cannot have a checkup or whatever it is. It is according to your faith. But I am going to preach it as the word presents it. And if you are hearing and this stirs you up and you want to live totally trusting and depending on the Lord, then you are on your journey, you're on your way to succeeding. And I will never stop anyone. Unless God shows me that they are not in that place of faith. And I had to do that once, years back, with a sister. And that hurt me, that grieved me, but I had that burden really from the Holy Spirit, and I waited and waited until I was sure of sure, and eventually I shared this situation, and I said, you know, your heart wants to trust the Lord, we know that and everything, but God impresses to me, you are not yet in that place. Oh, what a relief. I felt I couldn't handle this any longer. It was pushing me under. So I won't be condemned. I won't go to hell then or anything. So God forbid. But I said, if it's your heart's desire to come to that place, to trust God totally, then I said, I'm right behind you. This assembly is behind you. We're all in a race for that. You see? Look how the devil gets in and tries to twist and hold people in condemnation, you see? Yeah. I labour that because I know how the enemy tries to work. And I know the enemy tries to suggest that this church is a cult, you know, and uses this one. We do not. We present the Word of God as he presents it to us by the Holy Spirit. It is up to each of us individually. It is your walk before God. I cannot get you into heaven. I can only point you to it. But it is up to each of us. And I labour that because I bring that up from time to time because I'm very aware how the enemy tries to twist all of this, you see. But we are dealing with the fact that Jesus is the same today and yesterday and that he changes not. And God has delivered us from bondage. He's delivered us from all this teaching where it's nothing but compromising, you see. Because it's about restoration. God is restoring the church back to that apostolic faith, to that faith that the early church had, where they knew the power in the name of Jesus. That is fundamentally what we are being restored back to, because he's now become head over us, and not a man or an institute or an organization or a denomination. We've been restored back under his headship, the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the one we've been restored to. Hallelujah. What a deliverance that is in itself. But you know, restoration is an unveiling to that name again, to the body of Christ. So part of restoration, which we are all under at this present time, is also an unveiling to the authority in that name. And it takes a lot of the trying to believe out of it. It takes a lot of the doubt, the confusion. It is such an assurance that when I speak that name against sickness, when I speak that name against demonic powers, when I speak that name against whatever it is, I know it will be achieved. Because it's not my name. It's not my authority in that sense. It's not my idea or my invention. It comes from God. Because he says, most assuredly, I say to you, ask whatever in my name. He's encouraging us. He's almost compelling us. This is it. You've heard right. And you see, when we start to really move into this, because the authority in the name of Jesus is the only one who can pull down Satan's strongholds. There's no one else who can do that. And that's why we battle at times in spiritual warfare or getting into warfare, whatever it is, because I'm still not convinced in the authority of that name. But God's working it. And like I say, and I say it to myself, keep coming, keep listening. You'll get it. You'll get it. Because what else can we do? Nothing else we can do. You know, if there was, we'd be doing it. And we've heard all these years, keep coming, keep sitting under it, keep listening, and it will be there. It will do. In fact, that's part of the obedience of this walk. And what are we to do? We're to obey God at the end of the day. But that's what's going to pull down the strongholds, and is, by the way, pulling down strongholds. You have to have a vision and understanding to renounce these things. It's not just words, you know. It is a discipline. Prayer is a discipline. If the body is hungry, if the body, is wanting food, fast. If the body's wanting rest, get up. And that's what I have to say to myself sometimes. My body doesn't want to do it. My flesh speaks out loud and clear. But as you stay with it, and when you get into all of this and you get into this warfare and spiritual warfare, something in you starts to rise up because you are aware of that name that you are speaking to the powers of darkness. You become aware you are no longer dealing with that situation or dealing with that person or dealing with what's going on in the government or whatever it is. Somehow you get beyond all of that and you realize you're dealing with the root of that situation, that problem. And you're confessing that name. I know sometimes when I'm in spiritual warfare, I'm so aware of what Christ achieved at the cross. You know, we come right back to the cross. The power, the change that took place in the heavens, that displaced Satan, dealt with the powers, principalities. I'm so aware of that. And when we rise up in prayer and warfare, you're a part of that now. You're putting into motion what Christ achieved and did at Calvary. I've now become a part of that because I'm raised with him also in glory. He imparts that to you. Right in that process of warfare, when you're coming against these demonic powers, you become aware of this. And that's why it is by revelation, brothers and sisters. Flesh and blood can't show these things. And when it's revelation, you're moving then into the experience of all of this. And it's always very supernatural. It's something other than. It's nothing to do with the flesh or how you feel or the circumstances or whatever it would be. It is something that's divinely given and ministered to you. You see, the world isn't really convinced by the power of his name that just carries some authority or it's done in part or whatever it would be. The world has got to be convinced that we believe in the power of that name. The same as I read back in the book of Acts, the lame man that was raised up, those 5,000 that converted because they saw something. They saw the power of that name. They saw that that name is alive today. A lot of them had heard about the crucifixion. I'm sure a lot heard the rumours of, well, he's supposed to have been risen, you know, from the dead. And of course, they tried to fake all of that, didn't they? By paying them off to lie. Nothing's changed today, has it? Still goes on. But look at the power of resurrection, you see. They couldn't. So some had obviously, the rumours, they'd heard it all, but they were now seeing. They were confronted. Look what that name has done. And that has to be restored in these last days. And you and I are part of that. I'm not talking about this being done through the pastor or being done through some sister or whatever it is. Whoever hears this word, and those of you online, this is what God is going to restore through you. You rise up. You do it. Don't look to anyone else. This is what body ministry is about. And you see, you would not have this if you were in some big church or denomination. Because all the people would be looking to the ministers or to the elders. They're the ones that do it. Not in this. We go back to what I read in Mark 17. You go out. You see. Now, of course, God is using the fivefold ministry. We know that. But the five-fold ministry is there to equip you. For what? Your ministry, it says in Ephesians 4. It's for the equipping of the saints, that the body functions, you see. And so he says, most assuredly, and you've heard right, you've asked nothing yet in my name. And some of you are actually thinking, do you mean to say I've got authority to cast a demon out? You most certainly have. I've got authority to speak to the sick person. I've got authority to say, rise up and walk. You most certainly have. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. The days of hiding, brothers and sisters, is going. We can't hide behind this anymore. Not with what we've been given. I can tell you. And yes, it speaks to me. It really does. But there's something I think God is going to do. And he's going to be merciful. And we see it in Acts 4. He empowered the church again for a further empowerment. When persecution really started. It wasn't just in the upper room. When they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That was vital. That was important. But we see there were further on infillings going on. And I believe, and I'm not saying this as thus saith the Lord, I'm just impressed that God, with this assembly, I can only speak for us, we are coming to a place with the times we're in now and what's taking place, we're going to receive a further empowerment through the Blessed Comforter. He seems to be impressing this to me more and more. And what do? We simply wait. We don't use that as an excuse because we already have been empowered. We already have received. So God will provide in certain times, in situations, because we do not know what we're moving towards next. If the Lord tarries, we don't know what it's going to be like next year. I don't know. With everything that's rapidly moving. But I do believe God is going to provide. He's going to empower for the situation and the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Why? Because he's the same yesterday, today and forever. And he changes not. And with closing now, I'd like us to finish with Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verses 9 to 11. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. Therefore God also has exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at that name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The whole of creation. To the time of Adam and Eve when they fell. To the end when Christ hands back everything to the Father. He says everything will confess the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. My word. That is the power in that name. Never forget it. Let that go from the head to the heart. If need be, take this away and pray about it or whatever, because this is the key. This is the key to the greater works. This is the key to everything. It's the key to our life, my overcoming and this assembly and all those who hear it around the world. It is the key to this. Praise God. Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for just again reminding us of the power in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, may we enter into the experience of this word. May this become our life, our experience, our confession, our all, Lord. Father, Forgive us when we limit you. Forgive us when we take our eyes off you. Because when we look to you, we're looking to the name of Jesus also. Father, forgive us. Thank you that you're continuing to work with us and you don't give up on us. You are so merciful, long-suffering, gentle. You don't condemn us. You don't make fun of us. You don't ridicule. You don't make a joke of us or laugh at us, because at times we fall so badly on our face, but you're ever there in your infinite love and mercy to restore us and to raise us up. We thank you, Lord, for this. And Father, I pray that you'll ever continue bless, preserving and keeping each of us. Father, our brothers and sisters who are online as well, Lord, may they walk triumphantly in that holy name, that name of Jesus. And so I pray you'll bless, preserve and keep each one of us. Be with us when we go out, when we come in, and that we will ever continue to be filled with the Spirit. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen.
In so disaster, let him in constancy follow the master.